Good morning, everyone. We are being joined by Steve Park, our honorary pace car driver today. Steve, welcome to New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Talk about your weekend. You've been here a couple days already.
Yeah, it's been great. It's great to be home. I consider New Hampshire home. We just did a few laps in the pace car and kind of blew some of the old rubber off the tires to have a little bit more grip for the start of the race. And I just appreciate Toyota and everybody that provides the pace cars. And again, great to be back home, seeing a lot of the fans and now the media that got a chance to see quite a few years ago.
Yeah, Steve, you were named.
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
You were named one of the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour's 40 greatest drivers. Talk about that honor and talk about some of your best memories driving a modified. We are in modified country here.
Yeah, well, I guess I didn't make top 10. it's an honor. I was telling people yesterday that, you know, you don't set out in your career starting in the modifieds and local short tracks all around New England. Wanting to be nominated as a top 40 drivers in NASCAR, but it's been a great career. I mean, I had an opportunity to not only grow in New England, but come to a place in 91 that Bob Baer built that gave us the opportunity to showcase talent from New England in front of all the NASCAR people. And it garnered the attention of a guy by the name of Dale Earnhardt, which propelled my career into the NASCAR stage. And we were fortunate enough to get to the highest level in NASCAR and win at that level. And even though we had a short career or a career shortened with an injury, still just have the opportunity to make it to the top level and win at that level. There's a lot of people that I followed for years that had a lot longer career than I did, never won at that level. So it's just an honor to be able to make it to the top and have an opportunity to win and be back in a place like New Hampshire where won a lot of races, didn't win the Cup Series, but won the Busch North and a lot of modified races.
And talk about, you know, today we're seeing, you know, drivers such as Ryan Preece who have made it to the Cup Series, but he is, you know, very proud New Englander, loves the modifieds. We saw him contend for the win yesterday. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel great. I mean, Ryan Preece is one of those guys that, you know, his heart and soul was in modifieds and used it to propel himself into the Winston Cup Series. And, you know, I've been following his career, which kind of mimics kind of what I did. So obviously he's got a fan in me, and all we do is wish him the best and wish him a win. And nothing would be greater than to see him win here at New Hampshire.
We'll open it up for questions. If you have a question, just raise your hand. We'll get a mic over to you. We'll start right up here.
Sexter Neal, NASCAR.com. Steve, how do you reflect on your journey through NASCAR's Busch Series and the Cup Series from that period?
I think NASCAR does a good job giving guys like myself the opportunity to, people start in street stocks, you know, and propel themselves all the way up to some of the top levels. And, for me, starting off in a four-cylinder modified car and then modifieds at my local track as a second-generation driver with my dad, Bob Park, and then expanding off onto the NASCAR Modified Tour. So I think the opportunity to showcase talent, try to win. I think my dad taught me the best lesson where, you know, you had to win at the local level before you went to the traveling level. And then you had to win at the traveling level in order for you to go to the next level. Like, you know, we were always looking to go to, like, the Busch North Series. And, you know, if you can't win on the Modified Tour, you're not going to win at the Busch North level. So, you know, we learned how to work on our cars, make our cars faster, hone our own talent as a driver, and then take it to the next level, because you don't realize you go from something that you become familiar with driving a modified for 10 years, and all of a sudden you go into a full fendered car. Handling, car preparation, biggest thing for me was aerodynamics. People don't realize the modifieds, they put on such a good show here because they make such a big hole in the wind, and they draft and swap the lead lap after lap, and stuff that everybody wishes, how come nobody else can race like that? But it's just unique to the modifieds. And then when I got the full-body stock cars, I had to learn a whole new aerodynamic aspect of how to draft, how to pass cars, where we got to New Hampshire in 91, 92, and we're like, what is this? How do we gain 15 horsepower following somebody? And then you had to learn what to do with it. You know, when you had a closing rate of 15 miles an hour, you're like, I got nitrous oxide, and then all of a sudden you get the lead, and you're like, what happened to my nitrous oxide bottle? Now the guy behind you's got it. So it's just fun. I mean, again, once you learn the aerodynamics of the full body cars, I think Ryan getting the experience he's getting in a full body car is something, you know, where he kind of skipped trucks, kind of like what I did, went right into the bush car and learned quick as he could, and then got the opportunity with RFK. And obviously, he's a talented driver, and he's going to do well.
We'll go right over here to Matt.
Matthew Warris with AKRacer.com.
Steve, I know who you are.
Question I wanted to ask you was, I know you and I had talked yesterday in the Cup Garage, but Riverside Park was a home track for you for a couple of years. Can you just talk about the level of competition racing Saturday nights at Riverside, racing against Reggie, Jerry Marquis, Stefanik? I mean, the list goes on and on.
Well, I mean, you know, you just listed some great names in the Modified Series, and Mike Stefanik, I mean, probably some of the best races we had here in New Hampshire was with Mike, and we swapped the lead, you know, 15, 20 times, I think, for a win, and you had to strategize and putting yourself in the right position not to get drafted on the last lap. Maybe you didn't want to be in the lead. You always wanted to be second. You always had to be conscious of who was third. But just, you know, the craft that you'd learn from some of these I hate to call them senior drivers because I'm a senior driver now. But, you know, when I was a kid back then, these are the guys that I had to learn how to beat. And if you couldn't learn how to beat somebody at their own game, you know, how would you ever go to the next level in NASCAR and try to learn how to win at that level? So just all the experiences at different racetracks. You know, if you run one racetrack all the time, you know, you become like a one track jack where, you know, you can win all the time on one racetrack, but what if they change the game? You know, it's like playing football. You play in the same field all the time. But what's different in NASCAR is they're always changing the field. So I guess learning from different people and racing different racetracks gives you the opportunity to learn or give yourself the ability to learn as quick as possible when you do go to a new venue.
We'll go right up here to Holly.
Hey, Steve. Holly.
Hi, Holly. I know you too.
Great to see you, by the way. I wanted to ask you, kind of being out and around and all this, is there one thing that really stands out to you that is so much different from when you were racing every week and just makes you go, wow, I can't believe they're doing this, or I'm so glad they're doing this, something that stands out to you?
Well, it's really a good question. I think it's the technology in these new cars. You know, the computers that they have in them, you know, they're pushing buttons for pit road speed and stuff that we didn't really have, where, you know, we had to stare at a tack and put a piece of tape on, you know, 5,000 RPMs because that's what pit road speed was. And you always ran pieces of tape on the dashboard just in case you had to tape a connection on your helmet and stuff. So it's just so different than watching these guys, and the technology and the safety is the biggest aspect of it. NASCAR has done a great job making these cars not only fast, competitive, but safer for the drivers. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of the drivers have maybe a little bit more of extended careers. Not so many people getting hurt like we saw years ago. But I just think the technology, the way the dashes are lit, I'm always intrigued by the fact of watching on TV when they have the in-car cameras. I'm like, what's that? What's that? You know, I'm like, what's that? So it's like these kids or younger guys that are racing today, you know, you got to remember they grew up on video games. I got a 16-year-old sitting around here somewhere. So, you know, they come from the background of playing these video games that, you know, these cars now, that, you know, they got more things on the steering wheel that they can hit, more buttons they can hit for pit road speed, and then watch, you know, red, green, and yellow lights, and a little bit different than our red, green, and yellow tape we used to have on the dashboard. I'm showing my age, I guess.
We'll go right over here to Terrell.
Terrell Covey with the Podium Finish. I know you talked a little bit about the modifieds, and you've got some young guys coming up right now. You've got some guys, Mike Christopher has done some nice things. Justin Bonsignore, they have had opportunities. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to some of these guys who are trying to make that jump right now, in terms of, you know, what they've got to do or what they've got to look out for to continue their ascension?
That's again another good question. I mean, it's just I think it's tougher. You know, these guys are, you know, being thrown in the midst of competition. And Michael Christopher, like we saw yesterday, did a good job in the Truck Series. And you know, the biggest advice I could give is, you know, don't put yourself into junk just to drive a car. You know, if you're an up and coming driver and you get a chance to, you know, you don't get a chance to run the truck race, but then all of a sudden an opportunity comes up to run the truck that runs 30th every week, and you put yourself in that, then you get labeled as a 30th place driver. You're better off waiting for the right opportunity, and all of a sudden everybody goes, who's this guy that just ran 10th? And that's, I think, how you would help accelerate your career and get the opportunity to move up in whatever level of NASCAR you're in. So my biggest concern or advice I would give would be, you know, wait for the right opportunity, because, you know, that's the only way I think you're going to advance or get the opportunity to advance, because you always got to be the guy where somebody says, where did this guy come from? And nobody's going to see you running around 30th. I mean, if you watch any of these races on TV, if you're not in the top 10, maybe the top 15, that it's very hard to get noticed these days.
Any other? Oh, yep, we'll go Sarah, and then we'll come right up here.
The next gen car continues to be a talking point at flat tracks. From your perspective, what's the detail about this car that fans still misread, you think?
I guess you're talking about the next gen car. I'm really not familiar with it. I know that from a race fan on the outside looking in, I think, you know, it's a constant work in progress. I think the car that we see today is fabulous on the road course, where years ago, back in my day, we worked so hard on building a road course car, and we would have one or two cars that were specifically just for a road course. And now they have a car that they can race pretty much anywhere, that does an excellent job on the road course. The mile and a half and up, it seems like the car has really shown a lot of brightness, and maybe struggling on the short track. But I think they're overcoming some of that too. So I think you'll see a constant change in NASCAR in the, I don't know what they call it, the car of yesterday or today or tomorrow. And you know, and they constantly evaluate what's going on to put on the best product for the race fans, not only at the track, but on TV too.
I'm Sarah Talker from Total Apex Sports and your news media. I just forgot to say my name. So.
Oh, that's all right.
All right, we'll have a question right up here in the second row.
Amy Worry, representing Wiscasset Speedway up in Maine.
Oh, cool.
We're actually the only track in Maine that runs two weekly modified divisions. So we have a crate modified, and then we have the sport modifieds. But I just want to know, kind of representing a short track today, what was your favorite track in New England to race, and then some of your favorite moments?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously New Hampshire with the modifieds, when we had the opportunity to race here. I mean, not just because we're here, but, you know, we always considered as a young guy, you know, everybody wants to go to the Daytona 500. And modifieds, when we came to New Hampshire, we went to Daytona. That was our Daytona. So another thing that sticks out in my mind is, you know, you talk about the short tracks, but I think that Riverside Park was probably one of the best short tracks because of Ben Dodge and the way he handled the promotion of the track. And I think if you were a race fan or a racer, you felt like you went to the Daytona 500 on a Saturday night, just between the music and the announcing. And we used to come to New Hampshire to qualify the tour car, and then we'd haul butt down to Riverside Park, and Ben Dodge would actually delay the race, and I had to qualify for the race, but he wanted me to be part of his show, and we would constantly be either on the phone or talking, and I would have to start last in the last heat race, and if if I wasn't there yet or hit traffic, he'd run the street stock race, and then I'd finally get there, and he would just do everything he could to get me in the show. And stuff like that is not an honor to me as much as he just put on a great show for the fans. And the fans, you know, when they left there, they felt like they got their money's worth. So I think stuff like that, you know, meant a lot, not only to me, but I think it was great for the race fans.
And one final question from Terrell.
So you talked a lot about that experience with the modifieds. I feel like, can you talk a little bit about what that modified series, how that works as a link between NASCAR and fans? Because you think, you go, the NASCAR tracks, there's sponsor obligations, there's all those things that come with a weekend. And so they kind of have to carve out certain moments for the fans. But with the modifieds, you're traveling to all these short tracks around the region. Fans can walk in the pits and chat with you. How important is that link of the modified series for fans between NASCAR and grassroots?
That's a great question, too. But, I mean, as you see, NASCAR does a great job really getting the fans as close to the action as possible. You know, you couldn't get any closer than the modifieds because, you know, you would you would make a name for yourself, and the fans would want to come meet you, and they could come up and shake your hand. And like I said, the racetracks and NASCAR does a good job getting the drivers out, doing stage appearances and getting a chance to talk to the fans. And, you know, that interaction is what keeps bringing people to the racetrack. You know, we have, you know, Flow TV. We have all the network TVs. And I remember that, like, if I missed a NASCAR race on TV live, I missed it. I couldn't go back. I couldn't YouTube it. I couldn't, you know, I mean, you'd have somebody say, man, did you see the last five laps of that race? I'd be like, no, I missed it. I missed it. And then I just made sure I watched the following week if I couldn't be there live. So I think the interaction of the local short tracks, which are doing a great job, I think we see a resurgence of race fans going to local tracks, which also spills over to the NASCAR tracks. And if I was going to comment one thing, I think as TV has helped grow the sport and helps all you people that are doing anything with TV, but mostly media, having the opportunity as these young kids, what I see is that, you know, you ask them, hey, did you see that race? And they're like, oh, no, I'll just watch it next week. You know, that keeps you from coming to the race live. You know, that keeps you really from watching it the day it happens on TV, because you have all these outlets to be able to catch up on it later on. And I don't know if that hurts or helps the sport. I think it hurts it. Only because, you know, as a young guy growing up, you always wanted to go to live baseball, football, racing, because you wanted to be there to see it live. And now TV does a great justice the day of the races. But there's too many outlets, and I think there's less now on TV than it was. It was very saturated years ago when you had ESPN, you had FS1, you had all these outlets where – now you got streaming and you got YouTube and stuff like that. So as one disappeared, another one popped up. But I think the biggest thing is trying to get race fans to the racetrack for the first time as a young fan. And maybe that's ticket prices. Maybe it's, you know, making it affordable for a family of four to be able to come to the racetrack and give these young kids the bug of auto racing, so that when they grow up, they want to go to the racetrack. They don't want to watch it on YouTube. They want to come here, smell, and see these cars go around. So NASCAR's got a big chore ahead of them, and they do a great job trying to find the next thing that's going to help bring fans to the racetrack, which is very important to all of us.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for your time, and have fun today.
All right. Well, thank you. And if you guys want a tip, I know I passed the casino on the way here, but I guarantee I lead the first lap today. All right, thank you. there, and that's Amy, my better half, and so she's new to auto racing.